Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. Our guest, Olivier Melnyk, is back with us, and he's got a brand new book out. We'll get to it in a few minutes, but it's called Antisemitism in the End Times. Very important topic. In fact, he, before we got on the podcast, said he didn't realize things would be as intense as they are now when he started his ministry. But let's first thank some people, because you've been propelling this show, Worldview Matters. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ and your prayers. Your donations also have been helping us, and I want to thank some friends because we're now in our third year of producing Worldview Matters. It's exciting. We're amazed at the progress. Praise God. And to continue speaking the truth and exposing evil, we depend on your prayers and donations for those of you who are able to. So right now, we're running another campaign for supporters to consider a tax-deductible gift of maybe $200, or you can be a monthly supporter. $25 a month would be great. A lot of people do that. So it's as a small token of our gratitude, we'd love to send you our brand new stainless steel tumbler etched with my tagline, "Keep speaking the truth about things that matter," and Worldview Matters is on the other side, as it is right here. I've got mine. Please visit worldviewmatters.tv and praise God and thank you for your support and your prayers. So I want to thank John from Cody, actually John and Rachel from Cody, Wyoming, Jean from Manitowoc, Wisconsin, Kathleen from Marietta, California, Stephen from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. God bless you, brother. Anne from Gilbert, South Carolina, Cheryl from Forest Lake, Minnesota, Maria from Los Angeles, Janet from Nina, Wisconsin, Nancy from Sherwood, Mike Braun from Oshkosh, Nina from Charlottesville, Virginia. God bless you, sister. And Mary, M-A-R-I, Mary from Beaumont, Texas. That's just a handful of people who are giving ongoing donations, and it just helps us so much. Thank you, Jesus. So let's bring in Olivier Melnyk, author, and his website is shalominmessiah.com. That's shalominmessiah.com. Brother, thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me again. Always a pleasure being with you.
Same here. Pleasure's mine. Last time you were on, we teased the book, but now I've got it in hand. There it is. You got your copy too.
I got my own copy. I'm thinking of sending one to myself.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever tried to buy your own book on Amazon just to see if it works, if everything works
yes,
right?
Yes, to see how quickly I get it. Yes.
I think a lot of authors do that. Well, let's start with the endorsees, because there's a lot of familiar names from the Kingdom of God, the Remnant, Jeff Kinley, Todd Hampson, Brandon Holthouse, Andy Woods, all friends of Worldview Matters, and also Tim Sigler. So a lot of people, you know, sent their recommendation at the very beginning of the book. So, brother, kudos again. I know how hard it is to put out a book, especially the content of this. It's so important. And let's just talk about, as you said before we got on the podcast, you didn't think we'd be here where we are in 2025 with the state of anti-Semitism as it is. Just your overall thoughts on where we're at, Olivier.
No, I started on that journey in 2000. So it's we're going on almost 26 years now. I remember people looking at me like, you know, I've always been very conservative biblically. But they were looking at me going like, Olivier, where are you going with this? I said, where I'm going is that from the Bible and from current events, I can tell you things are going to get progressively worse for the Jewish people globally. And it's just not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I've always believed that. But what I was not prepared for was to have to live through it and to see the speed at which it's increasing. It's exponentially growing right now. And I would say probably, I think the end times anti-Semitism Pandora's box was opened on October 7, 2023. Mm-hmm. And everything changed. Everything changed, not just for Israel and the Gaza Strip, but globally for Jews. at that point, the Jews who look at the current, the world events and are not seeing the danger of being Jewish anywhere in the world, except for maybe in Israel, which is kind of ironic, then they're not paying attention.
Yeah. So tell us about the three sections of the book. I love the way you separated it all out. I'm looking at part two, a timeline of hatred, and that's basically anti-Semitism from the church fathers to the early Middle Ages. And then you've got the third section too, and you can, you know, tackle whatever you want, Olivier, in this abbreviated time that we have with you. But I love the third section, a new and more dangerous age of anti-Semitism. So share whatever you'd like on these sections of the book.
I start, like I always do when I write, I start with definitions. And because a lot of times, if we don't have an understanding of what we're talking about, there's a lot of confusion. I remember years ago, I was in line in upstate New York, going for like a boat ride. And I was at Arnold Fruchtenbaum's Shoshana Bible camp, and we took the day off. And I was standing right behind an Orthodox, an old man, maybe a rabbi, I'm not sure, but an Orthodox in black. And we got started to talk. And then I told him, I said, well, I'm a believer. And then he looks at me and he goes, oh, I'm a believer too. And I took it to mean he's a believer in Jesus, but that's not what he meant. He meant, I believe in God. And so that ended up in a very awkward, uncomfortable conversation. So I learned from that years ago, please define your terms. So let me start by defining anti-Semitism for our audience real quick here. Anti-Semitism is the irrational and demonic hatred of Israel and the Jewish people, characterized by thoughts, words, and deeds against them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do. And I give more definitions in the first part of the book. Then I go through about 100 pages, which is about, you know, almost, it's a little, almost a third, a little over a third of the book, really, of the what I call historical anti-Semitism, you know, from the closing, well, from biblical times, not even closing of the canon, from biblical times to the Holocaust, because I think the Holocaust was on the timeline. It was a marker on the timeline of anti-Semitism, and I show the progression. And what I'm hoping to do in the book is to show to people that anti-Semitism is not and did not happen in a vacuum. What we're seeing right now today is the result of 2,000 years of Judeophobia over the world, with a progression. It started as theological anti-Judaism with really not too much animosity, just us and them were different, and they're, you know, Christians and Jews. And then it evolved into this, you know, more laws being passed and accusations, and it got worse and it got ugly, and it got really ugly at the Holocaust, where it became a racial issue, which really is not, but it became, according to Hitler and the Nazis, based on the law of the science of eugenics, it became a racial issue. We had to get rid of the Jews. Then we had 2 years of 20 years of respite until after the war, until the mid-60s, where people thought it was over. It's like, okay, Holocaust, anti-Semitism, it's all taboo. We don't talk about it anymore. It's over. Never again. And then Arafat came on the scene, put on by the USSR, and started to develop slowly but surely the false narrative of the Palestinian displaced people that today people are just buying hook, line, and sinker without any question. I mean, 60 years later, it's Bible truth for them.
And that's astounding to me. They don't even look at world history. They don't want the facts. They just buy the talking points. But I want to go back to something you said, and thank you for defining the terms, because you said demonic and irrational hatred. I want to focus on the highly irrational. We understand this is a spiritual battle, obviously. If you're a biblical Christian, you understand hatred against the Jews and Christians. We understand that. We get it. But what about the highly irrational? Where does that play into this? For example, would that be what we see on college campuses, where they don't really know maybe even how to defend what they're protesting for, but it's that irrational? Explain that, please.
Well, that would be an example of irrational, but I think a stronger case for the irrationality of modern anti-Semitism is, for instance, Queers for Palestine. That is the epitome of irrationality.
Explain that. Explain why that doesn't work.
Okay. And where that doesn't work is, you know, if you take an LGBTQ and any of the alphabet soup people and you place them in the Middle East in a Muslim-run country like Palestine, which is not a country, by the way, but like, you know, the ideology of Islam within the Palestinian people, you put them there, what happens to them? They get thrown off roofs of buildings. Gays are, and I'm not in support of gay lifestyle. I mean, I don't think it's biblical, and I think it's a sin. But I'm just using it as an example. Gays will be thrown off roofs if they're caught anywhere in a Muslim country that is run by Sharia law, by Quranic law, the law of the Quran. And so now we have gays, queers for Palestine. They're not queers for Palestine. They're gays against Israel. And they changed the terms to make it sound more, you know, social justice oriented, but they're really anti-Semitic people. And but they're showing their colors by saying, hey, even us in the LGBTQ movement, we support Palestine. What it's showing is the irrationality where the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You've got two groups of people, Muslims and alternative lifestyle, LGBTQ people who have nothing, ideologically speaking, nothing in common, zero in common, except one thing, the hatred of the Jews and the hatred of Israel and the desire to destroy Israel. That is the epitome of irrational. That's not the only example. I would say that the fact that the youth on campuses, when you ask him what river, what sea, you know, from the river to the sea, the vast majority of them, they don't even know. And they will tell you, oh, I don't know, but it's the right thing to say because it shows my support for Palestine.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it. That's what they
said. Ignorance. This really is almost unbelievable. But if you talk about what the parallel that's happening at the same time with the dumbing down of the education system and the biblical illiteracy in the church, it makes sense that people can, I don't care, I don't have to explain that. I just believe that we need to be protesting. Anyway, I want to go back now. You mentioned Sharia law. I think of places like Dearborn, Michigan, and places that, I mean, Texas, Minneapolis. But let's talk about New York City. I want to get your response to the election of a communist, an anti-Semite, an anti-Christian, this guy Mamdani in New York. I don't think it'll end well for New York, but what do you have other concerns? Because, by the way, the news story that you mentioned before we got on the podcast, I saw that as well, where just after he was elected or that he announced that he won, someone put swastikas on. Was it a Jewish center in New York City or Brooklyn? Tell us about that.
Yeah, in Brooklyn, either a Jewish center, community center or school of sorts. I forgot the name of it, but you see this, the gate in front of it with the little red swastika that was painted, and that was not the only one, by the way. There were multiple cases of anti-Semitic symbols. 30 minutes after the results were in that he had been elected, this happened, and it's going to continue. And Mamdani is already spoken, and I posted an article on our Telegram channel about that. Mamdani condemns swastika graffiti at Brooklyn Yeshiva. It was a yeshiva, it was a school, as disgusting and I can't read it here, as disgusting and heartbreaking. And he says he's not going to allow any of that to happen. Well, right now, those are just words, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I trust him because of the track record of how vocal he has been promoting the boycott, divestment, sanction movement, rubbing elbows with terrorists and people who are involved in terrorism. And And all those different things that show that he really has a very, very strong disdain for Israel and the Jewish people. And the fact that he said that if he's elected mayor, Netanyahu will be arrested if he walks if he comes to New York. I mean, that alone could cause an international incident. So it's just like he's not a good person. I don't think he's going to be successful in his trying to push the Marxist agenda, because I mean, really, communism and Marxism have been failures only 100% of the time since it started. Mm-hmm. So there's a track record for it not working. Yeah. But it's still going to encourage and embolden other Marxists in other blue cities to run and possibly get in place. And what's happening here is that there is a faster than I would like it, but a kind of a slow eroding of Judeo-Christian values in America. And I don't see it stopping. God knows what's going to happen, post-Trump. I mean, who's going to replace him? I don't know. And we're not there yet.
Let me just share, we have to take just a brief pause. I've got some exciting news I want to tell you, friends. But first of all, one poll showed that 75% of people under 30 voted for this guy who is a communist, anti-Semite. Then this is not going to end well. What I mean by that is behind every free promise stands someone forced to pay. And behind every vote for dependency hides the slow erosion of freedom. I posted that on my Facebook page yesterday. Socialism always presents itself as compassion, but socialism isn't charity, it's coercion. Scripture commands voluntary generosity within the church, not state-imposed redistribution. And as we all know, when government becomes God, freedom dies and dependency becomes the new devotion. But we've got a lot more with Executive Director of Shalom in Messiah Ministries, Olivia Melnick, on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivia Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kah, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Olivia Melnick, you are one of the speakers at the May 2026 Worldview Matters Conference. Thank you. I wanted to bring you here to Wisconsin because your message is so important and needed. And I'm excited to have you come and share. So just your thoughts about how you've maybe changed your message since October 7, 2023 in your recent conferences, and you'll be coming to town.
There's been a shift. And I think for me, it started a little before October 20, 2023. But October 7, 2023 definitely solidified that decision. It confirmed it. When I started 25 years ago on this topic, I knew that I was trying to encourage people to educate themselves and expose the lies and teach the truth, and hopefully we can change people's heart and people's mind towards the Jewish people, and we can make a difference. I still believe that, and I'm not going to stop. But I think right now there's also an emphasis on equipping people in the body to physically have skin in the game to make a difference with their Jewish friends, because that will open doors for the gospel. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I think I'm actually convinced that we have reached a point where we are not going to be able to defeat anti-Semitism. It's just not going to happen until the King of Kings returns and inaugurates and establishes a kingdom in Jerusalem from the throne of David. I'm speaking of Yeshua, Jesus. Until that happens, there's going to be a semblance of peace, this peace, that peace, this land, that land, but nothing for sure. until he comes back. So we're going to have this increase of anti-Semitism. After all, we know that Zechariah 12:3 needs to be fulfilled. And we're halfway there right now, according to Numbers, where the whole world is going to turn against Jerusalem, the Jewish people. So that's well on its way. So my message right now is to Christians who have... it should be all Christians. Unfortunately, it's not. Have the heart and the attitude of a good Samaritan, going like, "Hey, I see the Jewish people all throughout the Bible. I see God is not done with them. I see He's going to resume His program on the Jewish people in Israel, and He's been blessing the world with the Jewish people. I want to bless the Jews, and I want to be there for them. I see a need for Christians to be bold, to be vocal, to be engaged." To have skin in the game and talk to their neighbors, talk to their friends, talk to their coworkers, talk to their doctor, their lawyer, whoever they know is Jewish, and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I go to that church. I want to make sure you know that I love Israel. I will do anything to help you. It's scary to be Jewish right now, but I'm your friend. I'm on your side. And just ask. I'll be happy. Anything I do, I've got your back." I think Jewish people need to hear that, because right now, yes, from a human standpoint, it's a very scary time for Jews globally.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't think it would be the way it is in the United States after what we've seen on college campuses. And again, the word irrational keeps coming to mind. But let's define more terms, because people are confused about this as well. What is Christian Zionism, and why do you consider that a noble cause?
Well, Christian Zionism is simply Zionism is defined as the return of the endeavor to return for Jewish people to return to their ancestral biblical homeland. And you have all kinds of Zionism. You have cultural Zionism, historical Zionism, political Zionism, on and on and on. And Christian Zionism is simply the belief that the Jewish people, according to the teaching of the Bible, the Jewish people are entitled to a piece of land known as Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, because God gave it to the ancestors of the Jewish people, and it has never been reneged, and it's never going to be. So that piece of land is the boundaries are defined in Genesis 15, and they have never been fulfilled. That will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. Right now, the small sliver of land is about the size of New Jersey. In the millennial kingdom, it'll be twice the size of Texas, a lot bigger. And so Christian Zionism is simply Christians showing their support to Israel and expressing that they have the right to exist as Jews in the land of Israel based on God's promises in the Bible. Now, what Christian Zionism is not, and that's important because we're being accused of that all the time, what Christian Zionism is not is a blind adherence to anything Jewish without asking any question.
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Because we are saying, Christian Zionism, you draw loyalty, you're more loyal to Israel than you're loyal to America. What about make America great again? Would you really want to make Israel great again? That's all you think about. No, I am all about making America great again. But I also want to remind our audience that America has been great because America has been blessing Israel since 1948.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to jump to, we only got 4 minutes left, believe it or not, but chapter 7, eschatological anti-Semitism. Explain that for us.
Oh, once in a while, I put big words in my book so I sound smart. So
there's a lot of them.
Right. Yes. No, actually, I don't. I want people to read the book. It is not a textbook for seminary. Don't be scared. It should be simple. So anyway, eschatological anti-Semitism, it's just another way to describe end times anti-Semitism. It's the same meaning. Eschatology is the study of end times. And so, I believe there's several different you could call them dispensations in anti-Semitism or time period. And, you know, there's the historical anti-Semitism that went all the way to the Holocaust, then the new anti-Semitism that started after the Holocaust within two decades that continues to this day. Within the new anti-Semitism, we have end times anti-Semitism or eschatological anti-Semitism, which, for lack of time right now, but it says in the book, started in 2012, so about 13 years ago. And then there's one more anti-Semitism that has not been, has not materialized yet. It's the worst of them all. It's tribulation anti-Semitism.
So,
which will be, you know, during the 7-year tribulation.
Yeah, a couple minutes left on page 165. It's chapter 11, the new players in eschatological anti-Semitism, part 4, the church. Are you implying that there are some churches that are not supportive of Israel or even anti-Semitic in America?
Was that sarcasm?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I know the answer to that. That's a softball question to end with. But I'm more concerned about the American church. Go ahead and share your thoughts in the last minute or so.
Yes, there are people within the church that are starting to distance themselves from Israel for the same reasons that I told you about. They just, you know, it's like, oh, they believe that we spend too much time speaking of Israel, speaking of the Jewish people, even speaking of the Holocaust. Hey, guess what? I don't think we spend enough time educating people about the Holocaust, because look, 80 years later, we have the Nova Festival attack where they kill people, the worst since the Holocaust 80 years ago in Israel. So we have people within the church who are either doing active anti-Semitism, and that's a position of the heart, and that's unfortunate because they should read the scripture, something like Psalm 83, it says you cannot hate the Jews and love God in the same breath. That's not compatible. Psalm 83, verse 5. And you also have soft anti-Semitism or passive anti-Semitism, and that's where I would put replacement theology, when people think they have replaced Israel, you know, as Christians, and God has done with the Jews. It's not that they want to kill the Jews, but in essence, they say the Jews are no longer in Bible prophecy, so who cares? And that places Israel and the Jews in a place where, you know, in the annals of history, and they're not really playing a part in the future, and that's very problematic. But I guess that's for another show, because we're running out of time.
Yes, but thank you for running that down for us. But friends, you can get this on Amazon, Anti-Semitism in the End Times, Amazon.com, of course. Olivier's got all of his books there. ShalomInMessiah.com. Brother, we're excited to continue these conversations in the next several months. And of course, we're excited to have you come to Green Bay next May. But thanks for your ministry. Thanks for your time. And your voice is so important and needed these days. Stay strong, brother.
Thank you. Be blessed.
All right. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.